Last week we began looking at the message of Stephen before the Jewish Sanhedrin. If you recall, after Stephen had got into a very heated debate in one of the local synagogues, they seized him and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They accused him of blasphemy against Moses and God. They found some false witnesses to level charges against him. When we read that account last week, we saw the real reason why they were so angry. It says in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, that they were not able to stand up against the wisdom and the Spirit by whom he spoke. And so that when they could not win in a fair debate, they brought him before the Jewish Sanhedrin under false charges. The Sanhedrin asked Stephen about these charges, and he delivered a long address before these Jewish leaders, a defense that lasted 53 verses long, and it was a bold address. It reminds us of the boldness that we saw in Peter and John when they had to address that same Jewish Sanhedrin back in Acts chapter 4 and 5. And when we looked at the account of Peter and John, we noted how bold they were. You know, Peter and John could have been more careful. They could have guarded their words in order to avoid any further conflict with the Jewish Sanhedrin. They could have kept their comments to a minimum in order to diffuse the situation. However, Peter and John, they did not. They boldly told these Jewish leaders that they had killed Jesus. And then they talked about how Jesus was raised from the dead. If you recall, that was an idea that the Sadducees on the Sanhedrin just did not accept. And then they told the Jewish leaders that salvation was now found in no one else but this Jesus that they had put to death. The boldness of Peter and John angered the Sanhedrin. In the end, if you recall, they were flogged and commanded not to preach any further in the name of Jesus. Now, Stephen probably knew what had happened to these apostles before him. And now he was standing in front of the same Jewish Sanhedrin. Did he really want to challenge them? Did he really want to anger them? Did he want to be flogged as well? Well, Stephen, like Peter and John, did not attempt to guard his words, didn't try to protect himself. Instead, he demonstrated the very same boldness that was displayed in Peter and John. He boldly testified about Jesus. And he boldly laid the charge against these Jewish leaders that they had rejected Jesus and put him to death. Stephen will deliver this long address before the Jewish Sanhedrin, pointing out all of their wrongdoings and their rejection of God, while telling them that Jesus was sent by God to be the true salvation for all the people. I hope these accounts of Peter and John and then now Stephen cause each one of us to reflect on our own level of boldness when it comes to telling the world about Jesus. I think sometimes we are silent about Jesus because we think the world doesn't want to hear. We think the world will be hostile towards us if we point out the sin of the world and point out that Jesus is the only answer for that sin in the world. But that is what Peter and John and now Stephen did here in the pages of the book of Acts. They boldly proclaimed Jesus to a hostile audience. They didn't allow the anticipated response of the audience to silence them in proclaiming Jesus. Lord, give us that same boldness. Lord, help us to speak up about Jesus, even when we know we will not receive that warm reception for the message. In fact, remember the prayer of the church in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, when the church prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." That prayer was answered in Peter and John. It was answered in Stephen. Let that prayer be our prayer, and let it also be answered in us as well. Now, we started the message of Stephen last week. We noted last time that there were two key points that Stephen was trying to make in his address. First, that God is able to meet his people, to have a relationship with his people outside of the land and apart from the temple in Jerusalem. God does not need the temple in order to meet his people. This point was so well illustrated last time when Stephen talked about Abraham. The second key point was that the people of Israel continually rejected those sent to them by God to rescue and to save them. This point will be very clearly seen in the story of Joseph, which we'll look at this morning. But first, one more point of review before we go on to look at the story of Joseph. Last week, we talked about the prophecy of type. We said that there are elements and objects and people in the Old Testament that point forward to Jesus. We'll see the first example of that prophecy of type this morning as we look at the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph in the Old Testament is the story of Jesus. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Let's look now to Acts chapter 7. After completing the account of Abraham, Stephen now turns to Joseph. He tells us that Abraham became the father of Isaac, Isaac becomes the father of Jacob, and Jacob becomes the father of the 12 patriarchs. And then in verse 9, Stephen declares, "Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt." Let's pause and think about that for a moment. There's so much in that statement that is that's important for understanding the case that Stephen is setting forth before the Sanhedrin. Stephen's assuming a lot of background knowledge on the part of this Jewish audience, but it would be valuable for us to review a little bit the story of Joseph from the pages of Genesis so that we don't miss the important point that Stephen is trying to make here in his address. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. If you have your Bibles, want to follow along. Genesis chapter 37. We see in Stephen's comments that he calls the sons of Jacob the patriarchs. If you remember, Jacob had 12 sons, and the 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. Every Jew in Israel identified with one of these 12 tribes. Some said, "I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am of the tribe of Levi. I am the tribe of Judah." When Stephen is referring to the patriarchs, he's pointing to all the tribes of Israel, the whole nation. And the actions and the activities of the sons of Jacob represent the whole nation of Israel. And what did the sons of Jacob do? They were jealous of Joseph, and they sold him into slavery. Let's begin. Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 2. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, A young man of 17 was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel, and here the word Israel is another name for Jacob. So now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him. We often call this coat of many colors. Verse 4. When his brothers saw that his father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Now in these verses, we see that there's something different about Joseph, something special about him. He is different than his brothers. Jacob could see that something was special about this. Now, Jacob did not fully understand why, but he understood that Joseph was different. He seemed to be someone set apart from the others, and this is true. As we will see as we continue looking at the story of Joseph, he was set apart by God for a special purpose. He was called to rule over the rest of the family and to rescue and save the rest of the family. Now, Jacob could sense this. That's one of the reasons he had a fondness for Joseph. Turning on to Genesis 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, and suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Now notice with me the words and the actions of Joseph here. Although his brothers were very angry with him, he had done nothing wrong. Are you starting to see the story of Jesus? We saw in the previous verses that Joseph did share a bad report about his brothers to the father. But if that report was true and accurate, Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He was just pointing out the wrongdoing of his brothers to his father. You know, the truth is, no one likes having their sins exposed. No one likes having their wrongdoing exposed. Jesus understood this. John chapter 3, verse 19, "The light came into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." Joseph then shares with his brothers a dream that God had given to him. And in that dream, it does seem as though Joseph will rule over his brothers. Again, if Joseph is accurately reporting the dream that God gave to him, then he is simply reporting the dream that God gave to him. The brothers didn't like that dream. But Joseph wasn't making up the dream. They didn't like the dream because, again, no one really appreciates someone else ruling over them and controlling them. Verses 8 and 9. His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Verse 9. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Now, this second dream seemed to include Jacob, the father of Joseph, and his mother, the sun and the moon in the dream here. Verses 10 and 11. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This last verse is key. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Jacob had always recognized that something special about Joseph. He didn't fully understand, but he did treat Joseph different than he treated his other sons. He saw a special calling on Joseph's life. Jacob understood special callings. Remember that when Jacob was fleeing the promised land because his own brother Esau was angry with him, he stopped for the night and he fell asleep with only a rock for a pillow. And then during the night, Jacob had his own dream from God. God showed Jacob a great ladder, a great stairway between heaven and earth, with angels ascending and descending upon this stairway. And in that dream, God revealed to Jacob a special calling on his life. In the morning, Jacob called the place where he had slept Bethel, because he had met God there. Although Jacob initially rebuked Joseph for sharing his dream about God, Jacob understood dreams from God. And it says in verse 11 that he kept the matter in mind. The brothers of Joseph, however, they had a different perspective. When Joseph tried to share with them his dreams from God, they grew more and more angry. They didn't keep the matter in mind. They did not contemplate the possibility that God was indeed calling Joseph to a place of rule and responsibility over the rest of the family. All they had was anger and bitterness toward Joseph. And why? Why were they so angry with Joseph? Was it because he had done something wrong? Was it because Joseph had committed some great sin? Was it because Joseph had done some act of cruelty toward them? No. It was because of the claims that Joseph was making. Joseph, the second youngest son of Jacob, was claiming that he had a special role and place over his brothers, that God had revealed to him in a dream that his brothers and father and mother would somehow bow down before him. He was making these claims, and the brothers hated him for it. Again, do you not see the parallels to Jesus? Jesus had committed no sin. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Jesus had not done any act of cruelty toward anybody else. Jesus was simply making claims of a special role and a special place over or for Israel. Jesus claimed that there was a special calling upon his life over the nation of Israel. And for that, they hated him. They rejected him. Now, for the sake of time, we won't read any more from Genesis chapter 37, but we do know what happens next in the story of Joseph. The patriarchs, the brothers of Joseph, so despised and rejected Joseph that they sold him into slavery into Egypt. They just wanted to get rid of Joseph. Some of the brothers even wanted to kill Joseph. It was Reuben, one of the brothers, who suggested that they sell Joseph to some slave traders passing by rather than kill him. But notice here, the deep humiliation in the story. Joseph's own brothers consider killing him and only decided to sell him into slavery, into a foreign land, when one of the brothers objected a bit. They threw him into a pit. They threw him into a pit, only pulling him out to sell him as a slave. How humiliating. Imagine. And his own brothers did this to him. Reminds us of the verse written about Jesus. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They sold Joseph as a slave to foreigners. Or in the case of Jesus, they delivered him to foreigners, to the Romans, who put him to death on the cross. So many parallels between Joseph and Jesus. Let's now go back to Acts chapter 7, reading now verses 9 and 10. But God was with him. That is, God was with Joseph and rescued him from all his troubles and gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. After Joseph's brothers tried to get rid of him, selling him off as a slave, it says that God was with him, and God exalted him to a high position. He came in time to sit at the right hand of the king of Egypt and to rule over all the land of Egypt. Again, this is the story of Jesus. Recall the words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 2:8-9. For being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Verse 11 and 12. Then famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. As we know from the story of Genesis, this was God's plan for Joseph. God brought Joseph to Egypt in order to be Savior for all the people. Joseph would save the people of Egypt and the people of Canaan from this famine. Joseph would save his own people from starvation. That was the plan of God, that Joseph bring deliverance for all of Egypt and all of Canaan. The parallels with Jesus continue. Jesus came to bring salvation to all people. Now, what is interesting here is that God used the rebellion and the rejection on the part of the patriarchs to bring Joseph to Egypt so that he could save all of the people. Same thing is true of Jesus. God used the rejection of Jesus, the death of Jesus upon the Roman cross, to provide a way of salvation for all people. God used rebellion to serve his purposes. They rejected Joseph, even as God was using Joseph to save his people. That very statement could be restated using the name of Jesus. They rejected Jesus, even as God was using Jesus to save his people. That's the point that Stephen is trying to make before this Jewish audience. Going back to Stephen's address, verse 13. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was. And Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. This is the most remarkable feature of this story. Joseph told his brothers who he was. And why? Because Joseph wanted to be restored in his relationship with them. He wanted to be known again as his brother. What makes this such a remarkable feature is that it runs contrary to what our natural human inclinations would suggest. Imagine someone so hating you for no good reason that they sold you to traveling slave traders who took you into a foreign land where you endured years of suffering and oppression. Imagine it was your own brothers who had done that to you. Brothers who should accept you and embrace you and protect you as family, instead throw you into a pit, sell you off as a slave, and you spend years in suffering. If you're familiar with the story of Joseph, you know the years of suffering he endured, serving in the house of Potiphar, the trouble he faces with Potiphar's wife, the humiliation he endures by being thrown into prison under false charges, years of hardship and rejection. Why? Because his own brothers rejected him. And now Joseph recognizes his brothers as they come to Egypt for food. Again, imagine that you had the power to give them food or to punish them for all that they had done to you years before. What would you do? What would you do? What would human nature incline us to do? Would we seek revenge? When we seek to even the score, or would you give them food and seek to be restored to them as your brothers? Punish or save? We know what Joseph does. We know what Jesus does. Joseph is a picture of Jesus. Joseph was called by God to be the Savior for his whole family. Stephen concludes his story of Joseph, verses 14 through 16. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and the whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our fathers died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. What was the key point that Stephen was trying to communicate in this story of Joseph? The patriarchs rejected Joseph, the Savior that God sent to rescue them. God was with Joseph. The patriarchs stood against Joseph. Therefore, the patriarchs stood against God's chosen Redeemer. Jesus was called by God to be the Savior of all God's people. The Jewish leaders rejected the Savior that God had sent to rescue them. God was with Jesus. The patriarchs, the Jewish leaders stood against Jesus. Therefore, the Jewish leaders stood against God's chosen Redeemer. Joseph was a picture of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we consider the story of Joseph, we see what you have done for us in the person of Jesus. We rejected, but he saved. Father, let us know the salvation that Jesus gives to us. As Joseph wanted to be restored to his brothers rather than punish his brothers, Jesus wants to be restored to us rather than bringing punishment upon us. We deserve punishment. We rejected him, but he wants restoration. Father, let us know that restoration, that salvation that Jesus provides. Let us embrace and know Jesus as our Savior, as our brother, as our Redeemer. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.